Welcome, Grace Community Church, and any of you who may be visiting with us by watching this video. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to go ahead and find John chapter 19 in your Bible. We're going to read that in just a moment. This is a first for us. It's the first time in nearly 15 years that Grace Community Church has not met on the evening of Good Friday so that we could come together and hear God's Word, the message of the gospel, the cross of Jesus Christ, sing together, pray together, have the Lord's Supper together. We certainly will do this again someday in person together. We'll do that in the weeks or months to come. But this whole weekend and the cross and the resurrection of Jesus reminds us that there's going to be a day when we will be gathered for eternity and we'll never again be apart from our Lord or from each other. But until then, we live with longing. We certainly long to be together, but we remind ourselves that this longing God has given us in this season so that we can appreciate what we have in terms of the gathering of God's people and also anticipate the great day. So let's live with the longing and trust the Lord in it. This video is certainly no substitute for our getting together as a congregation, but we do hope that it will be of an encouragement to you on this weekend, this Easter weekend, to remember the cross of Jesus Christ and also the resurrection. I want to begin by reading the account of the crucifixion of Jesus from John 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. And they came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. And Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." And the Jews answered them, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself out to be the Son of God." And when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" And Jesus said to him, "You would have no power over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself to be a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat him on the judgment seat at the place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and went out. Jesus went out bearing his own cross to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. And Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic and Latin and Greek. And the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, and also his tunic. But his tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine stood there. And so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is God's word. Listen again to the final words of Jesus as he was in his final minutes of life on the cross. He said, I thirst. That was to fulfill the scripture. This is a prophecy from Psalms. A jar full of sour wine was there, and they took a sponge full of it and put it on his lips and touched it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The final words of Jesus, it is finished. This is what the question is for us tonight. What does that mean? So if you're reading this in English, three words in English, one word in the Greek language, if you were to read that out of context in the English language, it could mean something like this. No more. It's over. Yeah. I'm done. Maybe even you've won. You finished me off. Maybe he's saying it to the religious leaders, the angry mob, the Roman soldiers, maybe even to Satan himself. I give up. But if you read it that way, that would be a mistake. In fact, that would be the misread of all of eternity. Because it is finished is a Greek word used in the context of Jesus' other words that means it is accomplished. It is completed. Jesus is saying he has carried out something to the utmost. He has fulfilled it. He didn't quit. He fulfilled it. It is finished is the opposite of defeat. It's the cry of victory. It's the opposite of giving up. It's pushing through to the end. So for Jesus to say while he's hanging on the cross, it is finished, is not the pitiful cry of one whose dreams have been shattered. It's not a display of inability and weakness and loss. For Jesus to say it is finished is a purposeful statement along a very intentional step-by-step plan to accomplish the will of God the Father, which is Jesus' own will himself being God the Son. And he is making a declaration, he did it. Jesus did it. He finished it before he died. In fact, Jesus would not have died until he did it. It is only when he finished something, did something, that he died, because that's exactly what he came to do. In verse 28 that I read from John 19, it says that Jesus knew that all was now finished. So that's why he said, it is finished, and gave up his spirit and died. He was deliberate. He was aware. He was in control all the way to the end. And this is some insight into the power of the cross. The power of the cross is in the power of the one who's on the cross, the crucified one, because it is Jesus who finished it, completed it, carried out and fulfilled to the utmost what God the Father and he as God the Son meant to be. But the question remains, what exactly is it that Jesus finished? Well, for that, we go back to just a day before, John chapter 13. That chapter opens this way. Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, Jesus loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. Now that phrase, Jesus loved them to the end, is connected linguistically to this word for it is finished. What that means is Jesus loved his disciples to the end in the same way that he finished his work on the cross. He loved them to the utmost. He loved them completely. He loved them successfully. Jesus didn't finish loving them. He didn't end his love for them. Jesus loved them in the finished, completed, fulfilled, utmost, nothing else to add kind of way. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he was also saying that he loved his disciples completely at the cross. He loved his disciples in the utmost way one can love. On the cross, Jesus was finishing, was completing God's love for us, loving us to the utmost. Not loving us and then ending, but loving us all the way to the end, to the utmost. This is exactly what the Bible says. For instance, in John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. John also wrote a letter called 1 John. In it, he said, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that God has loved us and gave his only son to be the sacrifice for our sins." Jesus himself said in John 15, "There's no greater love than when someone would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus is God's love for us. And Jesus on the cross is God's love to the utmost, to the finish, to the completed place. Now, on the cross, Jesus accomplished some very real things. He finished other things. He accomplished other things. But every one of them is accomplished because God loves us. There are seven things that we see in the gospel accounts that Jesus said from the cross, and every one of them points to something Jesus accomplished for us. For instance, Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Jesus earned our forgiveness by dying for our sins. The very people who were crucifying him and the very sin of crucifying him is forgiven because Jesus died for that sin. And he did that because God loves us. He's finishing out, completing out, fulfilling God's love for us. Jesus cried, another statement from the cross, Jesus cried out. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that you and I won't be forsaken through faith in him, that we'll be actually be reconciled to God. He did this because God loves us. God wants us in relationship with him. Another thing Jesus said from the cross, we read it in John, he told his own mother that she now has another son, the disciple John. And he said to John, "Now you have another mother. This is your mother, Mary." What Jesus is doing is he is uniting them in a new family around faith in him, saying, "Now you both belong in my family. You belong to me and you belong to God." Jesus did this, bringing us into a new family through the power of the cross because God loves us. Jesus said from the cross, "I thirst." And they put sour wine to his lips. And he did that on the cross so that you and I can drink the sweet water of the life of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God loves us and he wants to give us life. Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." He said that so he could also say to the thief dying next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus takes our spirit with him into the very presence of God, because God loves us. So forgiveness, reconciliation, life in the Spirit, a new spiritual family, paradise, heaven, eternal life, all are accomplished in the cross, finished by Christ at the cross, but all expressions, realities, gifts of God's utmost love for us, which Jesus shows at the cross. God cannot love us anymore than he has loved us at the cross, because the love at the cross is finished, accomplished, utmost love. So as you hear this, as you hear of God's love, don't spurn this love. That would be the most serious offense, the most serious of sins, to spurn the love of God. Don't walk away from the cross. Don't take your life into your own hands, away from the hands of Christ, and say, I will be my own Lord, I will be my own King. That's to spurn God's love. Rather, receive God's love. Receive the work that Jesus did on the cross for you. Receive every gift that He accomplished and finished at the cross. Do so by repenting of your sin. Repent of the great sin of spurning the love of God, of being your own Lord. Put your complete trust and faith in Jesus Christ and in His death for you on the cross. Respond to this love of God by confessing Jesus as your Lord. Put your whole life in Him and under His Lordship. Let the love of God awaken love in your heart. This is the power of the cross. The power of the cross is in the love of God providing our salvation and awakening our love for Him that Jesus would be Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that Jesus said from the cross, it is finished, and He pushed all the way to the end. He crossed the finish line. He has not ended His love for us, but we thank You that the love of Christ is forever, never ending. So, Lord, we pray that on this Good Friday, through the message of Jesus Christ and the cross, that the Holy Spirit would work even now in the minds and the hearts of people who are listening to this, that Your love would awaken love in return, that there would be repentance and faith and a fresh yielding, a glad submitting to the Lordship of King Jesus over our lives. Father, we're reminded tonight to pray for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters tonight around the world who are hiding, who are keeping their faith quiet, who are living with the anxiety of ever wondering if they will be found out and somehow be oppressed for their faith, lose a job, kicked out of a family, maybe even imprisoned, or suffer from some violence from the hand of a mob. Lord, lift the heads of Your people around the world who are worshiping in secret tonight. Give them a vision. Let them hear the words of Jesus, "You'll be with Me in paradise." And let that keep them faithful. And Father, we pray for the members of Grace Community Church who are in other countries tonight. Let them know the cross of Christ is for them. Their sins are forgiven. They belong to a family. We are a part of that family, and that we love them. Bless and keep them. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.